The board of the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Clemson, South Carolina, met for dinner to welcome their new settled minister. They introduced themselves to me by name and label. Marjorie looked like a model Southern lady, but she wanted me to know right off, and pardon my accent, I'm a secular humanist, honey. On cue, I know they'd rehearse this, someone asked, "Then why do you belong to the Daughters of the American Confederacy, Marjorie?" Whereupon Miss Marjorie retorted, "How else could I infiltrate?" Mr. Mihalik, that's the first thing I thought of when you gave me the one word for today's Heart's Desire auction sermon, secular. And that dinner was my introduction to secular Southern pride. Secular was not a word I'd ever thought much about before. It's a word that in its purest dictionary sense means simply not connected to religion. When giving a sermon based on a single word, I like to begin with its neutral definition, which never lasts for long. A native novelist, and because I don't have the book anymore, I can't remember, it might have been Flannery O'Connor, it might have been Walker Percy, but a native Southern novelist referred to the South as Christ-haunted. Here, secular has a double-edged meaning. For conventional churchgoers, secularism is the most heinous of sins. For free thinkers, to come out as a secular humanist, honey, is a badge of pride and a battle flag waved at the Christians, as though all Christians are alike and no intelligent UU would ever be one. Having heard that opinion expressed far too often in the congregation I was serving at the time, I set about facing it head on from the pulpit. The results were mixed. The notion never really went away. The idea of secularism originated in the 18th century Enlightenment conviction that autonomous human reason is the sole ingredient to leading a good and noble life. Now, modern cognitive science has dismantled that assumption. Our actions are deeply, unconsciously influenced by our emotions and the animate and inanimate relationships that surround us. We aren't as rational as we like to think we are, and we are scarcely autonomous at all. Unitarian Universalism is rooted in Enlightenment thinking. We've embraced interdependence in the last 10 years. We've embraced it as a principle. But the realities of being interdependent, that is to say, not entirely independent, the realities of interdependence remain an ongoing struggle in our faith communities. When psychiatrist Robert Coles was a resident at the Children's Hospital in Boston, he attended a seminar given by one of my favorite theologians, Paul Tillich. Tillich used the terms secular mind and sacred self to draw a non-judgmental distinction between those who look within our species to find meaning in the world and to those who look outside to another, to God, for the same reason. Tillich added, and this is a quote, "Church attendance for us can become a weekly social rite, a boost to our morale." Now, was that Tillich's secular mind or his sacred self talking? Does it matter? Tillich didn't think it did. Robert Coles kept on wondering, though, and so years later he interviewed Dorothy Day, who founded the Catholic Worker Movement. It was a ministry among the urban poor. Where he expected pure piety from Day, who was not a nun, but good as, Coles got something else. Dorothy Day said, "I get so busy doing things that I forget to ask myself the why of it all. Thank God for this wonderful secular life, but thank God for giving us a mind that can turn to God to ask why and wherefore. I say the secular mind is God's huge gift to us to use for the sake of one another." Often, when her workday threatened to overwhelm her, Dorothy Day would find herself drifting into moments of what she called secular having a brief time with the sacred. And Robert Coles concluded in his book, The Secular Mind, that secular thinking and its constant search for moral, if not spiritual, sanction is instinctive to human existence. I fit in theology lessons where I can, so here's a short one. Friedrich Schleiermacher, fun name to say. He was an 18th century German theologian, and his life work was reconciling secular Enlightenment philosophy with Christianity, which was all else there was at the time. And this made him an early religious liberal. It made him a faith ancestor. Now, in 2010, my colleague, the Reverend Roger Burthausen, read a paper to his UU clergy study group in the Midwest titled, "Party Like It's 1799, Friedrich Schleiermacher and Today's Cultured Despisers of Religion." I don't usually quote the titles of academic papers, but that one sure got to me. Now, I thank you, Roger Burthausen, because I've been able to distill an explanation from his paper of Schleiermacherian theology, which can be a little elusive. There will not be a quiz. So listen carefully for a minute or so to see what, if anything I'm saying about Schleiermacher echoes in your religious, secular, spiritual, or just plain Unitarian Universalist soul. In a tract titled On Religion, Speeches to Its Cultured Despisers, written in 1799, Mr. Schleiermacher averred that the true source of religion is feeling. Theology, ideas, and ethics collapse under their own weight when the heart remains untouched. Religious authority resides in the human soul. Now, Schleiermacher's cultured despisers were Enlightenment secularists who considered all religion, not all religion, supernatural or rational, considered all that, all religion, to be a load of bunk. Whether Schleiermacher was ever able to convince them otherwise seems dubious, given what I know about the Enlightenment, but he certainly tried. And he goes on. Because we know ourselves to be alive, humans are able to infer the infinite. None of that stuff about proving there is or isn't a God. We don't need to do that. We don't have to prove the infinite exists. Leave that to the philosophers. We can feel it. We are dependent on the ultimate mystery of human existence. Ultimate. Now, much later on, Paul Tillich would call that ultimate mystery the ground of being. Schleiermacher did not think religion needed God. Anticipating Unitarian Universalism, Transcendentalism, Process Theology, and a bunch of other things before his time, anticipating these, Schleiermacher saw religious revelation as, and I'm quoting, "every original and new communication of the universe to humanity. The infinite is everywhere and within us all." But Schleiermacher was not a lone ranger. He believed that because humans are inherently social, religious community, he would have said church, is where we are best able to fathom our deepest feelings. In short, religion is better with friends. Now recall, he was saying this in 1799. The preceding 5 years have seen a meteoric rise in the number of nuns, N-O-N-E-S, and SBNRs, spiritual but not religious, in the United States. That SBNR comes from the Alban Institute. I didn't make it up. There are SBNRs in every church. We all know them. You may be one. The nuns choose not to be affiliated with any religion or with religion itself. Some are culture despisers. Most are mainly indifferent. They neither need nor want religion as they see it, not even for their children's sake. One estimate says that these two brands of secularists are 15 to 20% of the population in the United States and one-third of young adults under the age of 30. Figures in Britain are even higher. They don't go to church, these folks, but that doesn't mean they don't want to be better people. The British spiritual entrepreneur, I can think of no other word for this, Sanderson Jones, founded the Sunday Assembly, self-labeled as a godless congregation, and by others known as the Atheist Church. Their mission and their motto is to live better, help often, wonder more. So far, so good. Schleiermacher would approve. The Sunday Assembly does not want to be mistaken for a church. They refer to their Sunday assemblies as shows. Services are defiantly casual, and God talk is forbidden. Probably not in the bylaws, if they even have any, but it's certainly condemned in the congregation. With our liberal religious values and our emphasis on social justice and our wide open welcome, Unitarian Universalism might seem to be the place for a secular-minded N-O-N-E to find community. But please be aware, and this was at the heart of Roger's paper, my colleague, any religion means all religion, including ours. Roger Burchasen. It would be foolhardy to assume secularism is going to be good for Unitarian Universalism. While they were potentially our people just a generation ago, they no longer are our people, any more than they are the evangelical or Catholic Church's people. It's a difficult pill for Unitarian Universalism to swallow. An assistant in the optometrist's office where I went for an exam recently struck up a conversation with me while she adjusted her computer. And she asked me, "What do you do for a living?" Now, usually I don't answer this one outright with new acquaintances. It can take it to some scary places in the South. But it was early. The hour was early, and I was caught off guard. So I said, "I'm a minister." She assumed my professional empathy, and she got it. And she told me about her son's harrowing birth. He had been born with most of his lower organs on the outside of his body. And he had not been expected to live. And now he was almost 7 years old. She gave his doctors ample credit, but she assigned most of the credit to God and God's miracles. Surely, for her son to be alive and healthy against all odds was part of God's plan. I said all the right things. Anyone would. More disturbing to me in retrospect was recalling my knee-jerk inner voice muttering, Miracles? God's plan? What a load of bunk. Why would God save your son and let someone else's child die? Where do you suppose that little inner outburst came from? Were I not already a Unitarian Universalist minister, I could easily have become an NONE nun as of September 11th, 2001. I was juggling several plates then, and although I thought of what I was doing as religious work, there was little time in the ensuing days for those moments of secular, having a brief time with the sacred, as Dorothy Day called them. The only residual effect of that period in my life has been my unwillingness to take part any longer in discussion among Unitarian Universalists that begin with the question, is Unitarian Universalism even a religion at all? Folks, we've got so much more important to do. So much more important than that kind of debate. I agree with Friedrich Schleiermacher that religion or spirituality begins in feeling, not philosophy. Furthermore, I agree with David Brooks, writing in the New York Times recently, an age of mass secularization, which is what we are going through, an age of mass secularization is an age in which millions of people have put unprecedented moral burdens upon themselves. They suffer from a loss of meaning and an unconscious boredom with their own lives. Maybe a more accurate name for what Unitarian Universalism is will emerge one day, although please not let it be Sunday Assembly. At any rate, it's clear that we can't speak for ourselves and others anymore only from our rationalistic side. We must put our secular, religious, spiritual, and multi-generational heads together in building and sustaining a covenantal faith worthy of our deep loyalty, a faith that nourishes the mind and makes the heart sing. Amen. Freely do we receive the gifts of this secular, religious, spiritual, and multi-generational community, and gladly do we return a portion of that bounty through the morning offering.